Today's scripture is continuing in Exodus. As Pharaoh drew near, the Israelites looked back, and there were the Egyptians advancing on them. In great fear, the Israelites cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the very thing we told you in Egypt? Let us alone, and let us serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." But Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to keep still." Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land. And the waters were divided. The Israelites went into the sea on dry ground, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went into the sea after them, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and chariot drivers. At the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and cloud looked down upon the Egyptian army and threw the Egyptian army into panic. He clogged their chariot wheels so that they turned with difficulty. The Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the Israelites, for the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Man, you two, between the two of you, I don't know what I'm got left. Tommy, that was incredible, and Arlene, thank you so much. But I do have a question for those here and at home as well. Does anyone know how to get rid of a phobia? Just to be perfectly clear, if you don't know, a phobia is a fear so intense it keeps you from living a normal life. Most people can drive over a bridge to work, but not someone with acrophobia. That's fear of heights. I learned that this week. Most people would not have a hard time putting a Band-Aid on a cut, but not someone with hemophobia. That's fear of blood, right? A phobia, it's not just a fear. It's a debilitating fear. And I know it's easy for us to poke fun at some of them. For instance, I learned this week there's genuphobia, fear of knees. Didn't know that. There's gamophobia, which is fear of marriage, which I totally agree. Sounds like something your boyfriend with commitment issues just made up to explain why he hasn't proposed to you yet. And it's just cruelty that the fear of long words is called, and this is true if I pronounce it right, hippopotomonstrosequipedaliophobia. Sure, I got that wrong. That's just cruel. It's easy to laugh at some of these things, but for those who really have these phobias, they really are debilitating. We want to laugh at gamophobia. That's the fear of marriage, right? But can you imagine being someone who had it, who was deeply in love and yet had a panic attack every time they imagine walking down the aisle with that other person? I mean, think of the strain, how hard that would be on both partners to wrestle with. See, for those who live with phobias, the reality is that they live consistently terrified. And we've all been terrified. What's the natural reaction we always know about when you're terrified? Fight or flight, right? So these people, they live in one or the other consistently throughout their life. Either trying to fight that thing they're scared of or trying to run from it completely. And both ruin your lives. It's a big deal to have a phobia. And so back to my original question. Anyone know how to get rid of it if you got one? Well, you got two options. Your first choice, if you want to get rid of a phobia, is the slow and steady route. Here's what you do. You teach the person some calming techniques, maybe some meditation. And then you start exposing them to greater and greater stimuli related to the thing they're scared of. For instance, if you're scared of snakes, The person might hand you or ask you to imagine a child's drawing of a snake. Not real, just in your mind, and probably doesn't even look much like a snake. It's probably just a squiggly line. That's okay. You can stay calm with that. Next, you might have to imagine a realistic picture of a snake, and then an actual picture of a snake, and then eventually hold a real live snake, and you've mastered your phobia. Slow and steady works really well, but it takes time. Which brings me to the second way you can get rid of a phobia. Take that same person scared of snakes, put them in an enclosed space, and dump dozens of snakes on top of that person and leave them there for 45 minutes. Why 45 minutes, you ask? I'm glad you asked. Because our nervous system can only maintain a state of terror for 45 minutes. That fight or flight response, it's got a timer, and it's 45 minutes. So you put that person in a room with full of snakes. Eventually, after 45 minutes, that terror response stops. The body can't maintain it, and they just give up fighting or trying to flee. But the snakes are still there, and so the brain finally at that point is able to say, oh, wait a minute, I'm still here, and I'm fine, and I'm not terrified. And that is where they have the opportunity to master their fear from then on. There's a risk, though, if you take that route. Nothing wrong can happen. All right, if you dump those snakes on that person, and 35 minutes into it, they get bit, even by the smallest and most unpoisoned of snakes, it's done. Something bad happened, and if anything bad happens, no matter how small, you've not just failed to rid them of the fear, you've actually reinforced it, and it's harder to get rid of in the future. But that being said, if you can pull it off, it works great. I bring all this up for a very specific reason. In the Exodus story that you just heard Tommy and Arlene tell you so very well, the Hebrew people had a phobia. Now, it wasn't listed on any of the lists I got to read this week, so I'm going to coin a new term. Y'all ready for this? The Hebrew people had pharaohphobia. That's fear of pharaohs. I said it was original. I didn't say it was creative. Thank you for laughing at that. You can understand why, right? I mean, for generations, the Hebrews had lived as slaves in Egypt. They'd been beaten and they'd been abused in every kind of way. And the last pharaoh, the pharaoh that's in this story, had killed an entire generation of Hebrew boys. Moses himself narrowly escaped that fate. Of course, the Hebrews were terrified of Pharaoh. And this was a problem. This was a problem because God, through Moses, was leading his people to freedom. But not just physical freedom. No, all-encompassing freedom. Mental and emotional and relational and above all, spiritual freedom is what God wanted for his people. And so, this was a problem. Because if the people were still scared of Pharaoh, if they still suffered from their pharaohphobia, it didn't matter where God led them, it didn't matter where their bodies were, their hearts would still be back in Egypt, and they would still live in terror. And they wouldn't be truly free. So how do you rid a whole people of pharaohphobia? Same way you rid anyone of a phobia. And I guess God could have chosen option one, that first option, the slow and steady route. I suppose God could have taught the Hebrew people some calming techniques and had them hold a kid's drawing of a pharaoh and work them up until they actually had to hold the real pharaoh in their arms. Yeah, I guess it wouldn't have worked either. A little impractical. So for that, or maybe some other reason, God chose option two. All-encompassing fear. God allowed these people to be trapped against the Red Sea. And as the story said, God then hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so he would keep pursuing the Hebrew people. Why did God do that, you ask? Because God needed the people terrified. God needed them surrounded by their fear for what I have to assume was at least 45 minutes. They had to feel it. They had to suffer for it. They had to feel the full depth of their terror, because if they didn't, they had no chance of being free. But there was a second part to the option two. Do you remember? You can't just feel the terror. You have to eventually see that the thing you were scared of has no power over you. And so the Hebrew people had to not only feel their terror, they had to see their terror made powerless. They had to see God win, and in dramatic fashion, and that was their only hope. And so God did it. God let them feel the full depth of their terror, and then God came and proved without a shadow of a doubt that he was more powerful than Pharaoh. The seas parted for the Israelites, and then God caused them to close in over Pharaoh and his whole army, and God stood victorious, and Pharaoh was left powerless. Only then did the people have any hope of true freedom. Here's the truth for us right now. If we cannot go back to the way things were, and we can't, and if we truly are on a journey to all-encompassing freedom, which we are, then it is not simply physical freedom we need. I know it feels like it. The physical is real, right? The masks feel real. Our AC unit got knocked out here at the church. It's why I'm not in a robe. The heat in here is real. The physical is what often is what we think about. But God wants so much more for us than that. And if there's one thing these last months have taught us about ourselves, it's that a lot of us have been living with some very real phobias. And the pandemic has just made this completely obvious, hasn't it? Right? Call it coronaphobia. I'm coining another term, fear of the coronavirus. I mean, it's killing thousands. It's crippling an economy. It is setting our children back academically. Of course we're scared of it. Of course we are. And what two reactions do we all have to something we're terrified of? Fight or flight, right? Same thing as before. And we all fall into one or the other. So some of you are trying to fight it. I don't just mean by wearing the mask and social distancing and staying home. All that's reasonable stuff. But some of you have spent more time studying germ theory than the scientists working on a vaccine. You know what I mean? Some of you are printing every word of every leader's address, looking for insights and contradictions and flawed reasoning, trying to fight. Trying to control what simply cannot be perfectly controlled. I know that of some of you. Others of you are flying. Best you can. Not just staying home, that's wise, but not even watching the news anymore. Not doing anything you can, not to think even. To even think about this nebulous thing out there. Trying to hide, basically. We're all scared. And we're all trying to cope. It's just hard. And yet, even with all that, can I suggest something this morning? Can I suggest that as real as that is, as real as that fear is, pandemic's not our biggest problem. Coronaphobia, it's just a symptom. Problem's actually much, much deeper than that. For instance, it's perfectly reasonable to be concerned if your kids might fall behind academically. My little girl's going to preschool, God help me. I'm worried about that myself. There is a reasonable concern there. But some, and I've heard it, for some it has blown into an unreasonable terror. It's like, my kid cannot fall back or else their whole future is ruined. Really? Really? Their whole future. There's no hope for a good life if you don't have academic success. Really? What does that say about people with disabilities? If your child can't have a good future, what does that mean for kids who will never have academic success? Is that really what you believe about them? Let's take another one. It is perfectly reasonable, a reasonable concern about what our leaders, religious, political, or otherwise, are doing. I mean, watch, listen, critique them. That's just good citizenship, right? But that reasonable concern can become an unreasonable terror. It's like, if our leaders don't get this exactly right, our whole country is doomed. Really? Really? And I know it matters. But do you know the kind of leaders this country has had in its past, national, local, or otherwise? I mean, we have had some great leaders, but we have had some awful ones too. And we did pay a price for them. They did do harm. But we're still here. We made it. Reasonable concerns can morph into unreasonable terror. And that's what I mean, that the real problem we are facing in these days, it's not the outward stuff. It's not the pandemic. It's not the protests. It's not the academic challenges or the politics. Those are real concerns, I know. They have real impact, I know. But they're not the real problem. The real problem is that we are still slaves to our fear. And we need freedom. God is leading us to a promised land, and we will get there. A new day is coming. The promised land is coming. A new normal is coming. We will get there physically. But the real question is, when you get there, where's your heart going to be? Is your heart going to be free from the terror you felt, or is your heart going to be back in Egypt still? Because if it is, even if there's a new normal, you are still a slave to fear. So what's your phobia? I mean, you can get on Google and find a list, but it's pretty easy to figure out if you know the trick. Just ask yourself, what are you fighting, or what are you flying from? You might be one or the other, but you're doing one. Which is it, and what's it directed to? Then you'll know what you're scared of. Maybe it is falling behind. Academically, financially, in your career. I know that. Maybe it's isolation, loneliness. What if I never get to be with people the same way? Maybe it's just this feeling of powerlessness and helplessness. Like, I can't get anything done. The very smallest task takes so much effort. I'm never going to be able to do anything the way I used to. Maybe. Maybe it's just change in general. I can't cope with it. I've adapted and adapted and adapted, and I'm just so tired of things changing. I'm so scared of how much more things could change. I don't know. What's your phobia? You got to figure it out. You got to name it. Because if whatever it is, if you don't know it, you're going to miss what happens next. Do you remember what happens next? What does option two look like? Do you remember? What comes next is the part where you feel your terror to its very heart, to your very heart, where you are surrounded by it and overwhelmed by it and broken by it until you no longer have any fight left in you and any flight left in you, until you are utterly wrecked by your terror. I said you needed it. I didn't say you'd enjoy it. But you have to endure it. And that was the promise. Did you hear those words? Did you read those words? That is the promise of this passage. Moses said it. The Lord will fight for you, but only if you keep still. If you try and fight, the Lord won't fight. If you try and run, the Lord won't fight. only if you keep still. 45 minutes of absolute terror is what it takes. 44 minutes, not enough. You quit a minute early, you got to try it all over again. You have to sit in it. You have to keep still in it. But if you do, if you can do that, sit in that real terror for that long, go through that awful time, after the terror comes God. You got to go through it. There's no shortcuts here. But after the terror comes God. Only once you have felt the full depths of that terror, only once you have given up and discovered the very limits of the thing that you were so scared of, only then does God arrive. Only when all of that is over does God swoop in and part the seas and show you the limits of the thing you fear. Only then does God bring those waters back in around the very thing you thought was so powerful and drown it completely. Only once you are weak and bone tired and exhausted can you truly discover just how strong God really is. That's what happens next. But you don't get that if you don't find the fear. And if you don't suffer the fear. But once you do, church, once you do, then the seas flow back behind you and you will look back and you will realize it's done. It's done. What you thought was never ending has ended. What you thought was all powerful is drowned and gone. It's done. I mean, yeah, there may still be pain in the future. There may still be problems in the future. There may still be a pandemic in the future, but that doesn't matter as much anymore. It's still real. It still needs work. You're not terrified anymore. Because you've been brought to the edge of it. And God brought you through it. And so whatever comes next, and we're going to see what comes next, in the coming weeks, it's going to be okay. You know that. It's going to be okay. Not perfect, but okay. Because the terror is gone. Because you have seen the full force of that which you feared, and you have seen that your God is more powerful than even that. And finally, you can leave Egypt. Not just physically. Not just emotionally. Spiritually. Because you have been freed. Can I pray for you for that? Almighty God, for everyone worshiping here today, everyone listening to the sound of my voice, God, everyone in your world today, I pray for freedom. Not just physical freedom. All-encompassing freedom. And God, I know the price. God, we've all felt it. Our terror in these days. And none of us wants to go through it. None of us wants to walk through the sea. None of us wants to see those chariots barreling down upon us. But Almighty God, would you please, please give us the strength to be still. And wait on you. So that God, you may come into each and every one of our lives. And show us just how powerful you really are. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.